Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need
fun. We're back. It's 12 after. Welcome back, folks. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. And one of the reasons why I would like for you to go there, besides signing up for my free newsletter, is because that's where you can go and listen to, I don't know how many archives of past interviews we've done with Jack Mitchell, the gentleman who's sitting across from me, one of my heroes. Jack is the current generation patriarch of the Mitchell Richards organization, of outstanding clothiers here in South Connecticut, Southern Connecticut. He's the author of an outstanding book that's just taken the world by storm. He's created a whole new world, a whole new profession for himself. Basically, the title of the book, as you know, many of you have been listening to the show, have heard Jack on the show before, Hug Your Customers. And I'm so excited to be sitting across from him for the first time. All the times we've interviewed Jack, we've always done it by remote. He's been in his bunny slippers in his house, and I was in my studio. But now we're across from each other. He's got his tie on. He's got his tape measure around his neck. He looks like he could just measure me up for an Armani any minute now. And he promises me he's going to do that in a minute. Jack Mitchell, welcome to the show.
Jim, I'm thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled that you're here in Connecticut with us.
Well,
is great.
I appreciate that. And again, thank you for holding the colors off. We were so worried that the colors, and then, you know, my wife said, I'm worried about the colors not being
there.
It
was not a problem at all. We decided to do it.
I said, Jack will take care of this. He's got a direct line. He'll handle it. thank you.
It's a real big pleasure and a real big hug. All your fans here in Connecticut, to have you personally here, it's great.
I appreciate it. Jack, I was talking to someone yesterday, and I was bragging on you. I was complimenting you.
Thank you.
Obviously, you guys are a tremendous success in your clothing business, but you created a whole new world for yourself with this book, Hug Your Customers, haven't you?
It's been a lot of fun. Yes,
it's selling like crazy all over the world.
Jim,
and the Mars, I think, is bestseller in Mars.
It's the bestseller for sure in Singapore. No, we just went into the seventh printing.
You wow, know, it's, congratulations.
It's, another 20,000 copies that are available.
Ladies and gentlemen, we launched this book on my show.
And
as you know, no chopped liver for the Small Business Advocate audience. Only the best for my folks.
And then I even bought a copy in Japanese just in case you'd like to read it. I'm going to Estonia.
I'll do that.
And today,
Estonia.
There's a whole country of huggers in Estonia.
Jack, I've got a book I'm trying to sell. Ease off a little bit and, you know, share the wealth a little bit, Jack. Give me a break.
But Jim, the most important thing, of course, is I still love, as I symbolize with my tape here, I really love my day job. That's what really has focused for me. I really love what I do in terms of the family business, helping customers, meeting and greeting customers, and giving them a hug once in a while, and motivating our staff, our non-family executives and our non-family people, mm-hmm. and just the people that are extended family, to really welcome guests, our customers in our two stores in Westport and Greenwich, Connecticut.
Well, you guys, I mean, you know, when people hear you talking about hugging your customers, you don't just talk about it. You live that. It comes out of your pores, and people see that, and I congratulate you on that. When you told me you were writing the book, I said, well, this is going to be a tremendous success. But not only the book, you're speaking to people all the time.
And, I am. I'm sharing the whole idea, mm-hmm. which is a real thrill to me. It's so fulfilling for me after spending a lifetime and a career on the selling floor and growing our family business, to have people in Indonesia or Mississippi, I did a speech for Starbucks in Seattle a few weeks ago, and those type of, when people are really involved and they're really saying, you know, how do we improve our customer service? And I talk about the personalization mm-hmm. of the relationship.
It's only way for small businesses to be successful in the 21st century.
You got to think small. I mean, think of Starbucks with 8,000 shops or stores, but you know what? Mm-hmm. They think small,
right?
And that's what you need to do. I believe it's the mm-hmm. one customer. I mean, people are picking it up. I mean, think
but see, and these large companies are getting you to tell their people about this. they're thinking, they're realizing that they've got to take a page out of our playbook, don't they?
You bet. I mean, Morgan Stanley, one client at a time. They're even picking up some of the words.
Yeah.
You know,
well, should we start charging them for this, shouldn't we?
Well,
I know you are, but but I think small businesses, we ought to get a franchise on this, make these big companies pay for this.
Well, they are paying me now to speak.
I know they are paying you, but I
but you know, it's the money. I love money. Let me be abundantly clear.
We're capitalists.
Well,
let's not lose our head here.
So no, for sure. However, it comes as a result of the hard work. It comes as a result of the philosophy and sharing.
Well, people who don't have the kind of commitment that you do, and you do too, Jim. Well, I appreciate that. I try to, but I know people who are capitalists who don't have this kind of love, and they're sad capitalists.
You bet.
And
But I think our system's flushing that out. I truly do.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, what I have seen, and we are, as you know, we're in Fairfield County, just a 9-iron from New York City, is definitely, you know, where many of the CEOs, many of the Fortune 500 companies are here, and we know them as customers, as on a personal relationship.
Right.
And these men and women really care about America. They really care about our businesses, and they care about their people. They truly do. And what's really exciting for me, be it MassMutual, be it General Electric, be it Xerox, when I bump in and talk to the Jeff Immelson, and the Ann Mulcaney's, who's the CEO of Xerox, these men and women are really re-energized by their customers, and they're really beginning to put customer service, personalized customer service, as one of their strategic initiatives.
Well, exactly.
And that's really exciting.
That's very exciting. And the thing is, in the 21st century, you can't phone your job in.
You bet.
You got to show up because you got to take care of those customers, and more people are realizing that.
You have to be there.
Because customers have too many choices today. And if you don't stay close, it's not our customer's job to keep us top of mind.
Absolutely.
We have to help them keep us top of mind. And you're doing a great job of that. Now, I want to talk a little bit by the way, before we go any further, where's the book available?
Book is available, hopefully still at a lot of bookstores.
Wherever fine books are sold, a couple of places maybe where they're not so fine.
Well, Amazon.com, of course, still has a BarnesandNoble.com. You can get it on the Internet. You can get it on and you can even, you know, look on my website, which is hugyourcustomers.com. And it'll tell you how to buy the book.
Great place to go, folks.
What's also happening, Jim, is, and just to put a plug in for it, thank you very much, is that companies are buying the book 100 at a time. That's the new phase of the book. Because what's happening is it's a very inexpensive way to give your customer or your associates, who in turn have to hug their customers, a book.
Absolutely. Jack, when we come back, I know that your family business has just gone through a series of meetings with the family and talking about how the business is going. And when we come back, I want you to talk to us. You've done this a little bit before, but I want you to talk to us about the family dynamic of your very successful small business.
The most important talk. I'd be happy to do
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Right after these messages, folks, it's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, having more fun than the law allows at the Dolce Norwalk Center for Leadership and Innovation, sitting across the desk from my good friend, Jack Mitchell. Stay with us, please. Love your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know, your love give me such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need fun. We're back. 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, sitting across the table from my good friend Jack Mitchell, the author of Hug Your Customers, the president of Mitchell Richards Clothiers in Southern Connecticut. Mitchell's is in
Westport,
and Richards is in
Greenwich,
Connecticut, and Fairfield County, Connecticut, which is hard by to New York City. And Jack's sitting across from me. Folks, I don't know. I know a lot of family businesses, and I know a lot of really successful ones, but I don't know any that are more successful than the Mitchell Richards organization. And Jack, recently, and you talk about this in your book.
Yes, I do, Jim.
Folks, this Hug Your Customer book is chock full of good stuff, including how to take care of your customers, how to make sure you give your customers what they want, not just what they need, but what they want, and how to save them time and get them to be customers you can't run off. He does that in the book. But also, you talk, Jack, about your family business. And I know that you've done something this week. I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about it. Tell us what your family went through this week.
Our family this week went through a two-day session with our consultant, David Bork, who heads up the Aspen Family Institute. He's a consultant for family businesses. And we've had a relationship with David, personal and professional relationship with David, my brother and I, since 1985. Excuse me, almost 20 years. So we, on a quarterly basis, sit down with David, and we talk about our family business. We talk about how we're doing. Have we kept that mindset that it's a business first and then a family second? Mm-hmm. Because we have, you know, we have almost 200 wonderful associates that work with us.
Right. How many family members, though?
We have nine, actually, active family. Can you imagine?
Six of the seven
sons.
Children.
My brother and I are blessed with seven sons, yeah. Six of whom are in our business. Tyler, who's my brother's youngest son, isn't in yet. And he's not in yet probably because he may decide to come in, he may not. Well, we all, of course, hope he will.
But he hasn't he hasn't ripened yet, has he?
Well, yeah, well, about ripened. He's a very mature young man.
I know,
man.
But I mean, in terms of, you have a rule, don't you?
We have a rule. We only have two rules in our family business, which we established before any of these sons came in the family business. The first rule was they had to work somewhere else for 5 years outside the family business after they graduated from college. So that was the most, and I think that's probably the most important rule, or we used to say guideline, but it's a rule. And I think as I've shared that with other family businesses, so many people say, oh, I wish I had done that
my
kids
right.
or my grandchildren, because you'd learn outside what it's like to work for somebody else besides your father or your mother or your brother or whatever. Mm-hmm. The other rule we have is they're not entitled, even though they may own part of the family business, there's no entitlement.
Right.
It has to be a real job.
Right.
We don't put let's say Chris Mitchell.
There are no positions. There are only jobs, right?
Exactly. And they have to be qualified for those jobs.
Right.
Some of our sons and my nephews have had to wait to come in our family business because we would never fire or move out a non. What kind of message would that
right.
send?
Right, you can't do that.
That is not a hug.
Well done.
That would be you know, the antithesis of our culture.
Right.
Our culture is the family.
Which was started by your father.
My mom
and your dad.
And my dad.
We lost your dad earlier this year.
Dad, he was almost 99.
Rest his soul.
But to me, the whole idea of the family business, we learned from David, but we really knew it. He facilitated. My brother Bill and I, we don't agree on everything, but we have definitely the mindset that a family business is first and foremost about a business first and a family second. Don't mislead. You know, family is the most important thing in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But from the business perspective, so many businesses that are family-owned get caught up in, we'll do this for the family. It's got to be the mindset is business first, family second. And generally, the family benefits when you
have
that mindset.
No question about it.
Then these two rules that I talked about. Then we have an outside advisory board that we've had since 1987. We had a meeting last night of our advisory board. Six outside advisors that we pay and we listen to, and we've had a discipline because of this outside board of a business first and a family second.
So,
there's
no incest of ideas here. We got lots of ideas. People bringing you perspectives and best practices, you're bringing these things in. That's so smart. I see that the biggest mistake that family businesses make is when all the ideas are born inside the family business.
Of course not. It's we've learned that by being close here in Connecticut by the General Electrics and the IBMs. I mean, I know IBM's a sponsor. And it's no big, but I'm actually, what better companies in the world, IBM and General Electric, to listen to these executives and listen to what they've done, and use some of their best practices in our family business? It can be done.
And folks, everybody doesn't live nearby to the General Electric headquarters or whatever. They live out in Heartland America.
Yes.
But the same thing that you're doing, they can do. Anybody can do that. By bringing in a CPA, bringing in a non-competing president, share those ideas with them.
Absolutely, and then stick to it. Have a regular agenda. Show your financials.
You had your annual meeting this week, didn't you, of the family?
Well, it wasn't an annual meeting. We it's an ongoing process.
How often do you meet with?
We meet
family?
Quarterly, and we had 2 days, and we talked. We had succession planning.
Off site. No phones ringing, et cetera.
Offsite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And 2 years ago, we selected after 2.5 years of hard work and discussion. We had unanimously elected, if you will, our two oldest sons to be co-presidents.
Wow.
Even though I'm still the CEO, my brother's still, the vice chairman, we will move out of the in that role. I hope that they'll
for having that structure. Jack, we've run out of time, but we got many more visits we're going to have in the future. Thank you for being here. Give us your website, the Mitchell Richards website.
HugYourCustomers.com is mine, and Mitchell's Online. Mitchell's.com.
Mitchell's online. I can buy online too, can't they?
You bet.
All right. We're going to spend some money with you today. My wife has made me promise.
It's a deal.
See you in a little bit.
Thanks,
Jack Mitchell, ladies and gentlemen. He'll
Come back
to
Connecticut, too.
Hug your customers. I'll be right back. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.